in personal ways of training, he would get me to look at. He had a very good way of getting me to pay attention to myself, and so in many cases I learned a lot just through his skill in getting me to look. We'd start in the evening and have an evening puja, and then he'd get on the high seat, and he'd expound Dhamma for 3 or 4 hours sometimes, and the Thai etiquette is so strict. You're supposed to sit like this all the time when you're listening to a Desana with 1 foot out, and you're not supposed to sit in this samadhi style. So this is very strict, and so I found this way of sitting for I could bear about 5 minutes of it, and then it would be excruciating. So then I'd sit in the samadhi style, and then the monk next to me would no, you can't do that. Be on my back end, so I'd have to get back into this one, and so this would bring up such anger and resentment, you know, being pressured and the pain with pain, and then the way the Thai monks would always be correcting me. I couldn't do anything right, and so they were always at me and kind of, I felt, making fun of me sometimes, laughing, and this would bring up such anger and rage. And then Lungpo Cha would go on, and I couldn't understand. After a while, I'd even give up trying to understand. And he would be speaking usually in Lao, Isan dialect. So I just learned to turn off to this sound. And he said, your practice now is patience. He said, you're not very patient. And I agreed. No. Couldn't deny that, but the so I did. I took that quite seriously. When I asked her if I thought in a reasonable way that I think, because I am a very reasonable person, I said, Ajahn Chah, since I don't understand the language that well, I think I'd benefit more if when you gave your talks, I left the sala and went back to my kuti and practiced meditation. Seemed very reasonable. And he said, no. He was being unreasonable, I thought. That's not being reasonable. But anyway, I did what he said and developed patience. And it was interesting to see, because he could, when you're in pain and you're bored, these are all such negative experiences, and you're frustrated because you can't understand, and everybody else seems to be fully appreciating. People be laughing, and he was a brilliant speaker, but if you can't understand what he's saying, you can't feel all the time this frustration, and they were all enjoying it, and I'd feel hatred towards all of them. Feel like just, the thought, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to put up with this any longer. And I've had enough. And all these thoughts would be going through my mind. But then I remember one specific time I was so angry, and he'd been going on for ages. And then suddenly he finishes, and then he looks at me, and he smiles, and he says, how are you, Sumato? And he said it in such a way that all the anger suddenly just dropped, it completely disappeared. And this rage and resentment completely dropped. And I felt this joy that he gave me this sense of love and joy. And how quickly that anger that had been going on for several hours just disappeared. It surprised me. Because I thought, if I'm this angry, it's going to take ages to settle down. But just that, the way I could reflect on that. Another time, I was telling the teachers about every fortnight we do the Patimokkha recitation. It's a chanting, a Pali of these rules, 227 rules. So it takes a while you know, 40, 50 minutes. And one monk will chant the whole thing, and the rest of us sit and listen to it. So this was, I remember one time he had a very good friend, an old monk, who was lived quite as a hermit, Ajahn Chah-lui. And Ajahn Chah-lui was a nice old monk, but he was really garrulous person, you know, and he'd just talk. And so after the Patimokkha, usually we're dismissed and we can go and we meet with the lay people for sitting up in the practicing meditation all night. At that time, Lungpo Cha and Ajahn Chah-lui didn't dismiss us, and they sat there talking, and they were telling jokes, and they were laughing, and they were just going on, and I kept watching, you know, the clock, and what time, when are they gonna, and I was getting more and more nervous, and so during this time I was experiencing this impatience, and this, they're just talking rubbish, you know, none of this, it's all silly, it's not even good Dhamma, you know, and they're wasting my time, and all these thoughts would arise, and then I started hating Ajahn Chah-lui for being so garrulous, and I thought, why can't Ajahn Chah just, you know, this is not, we could all be in the sala meditating with the lay people like we should be doing. But through this, you know, I could see he was noticing me, and obviously my way of, my demeanor was obvious to him. And he kept us sitting there till about 3 a.m. And the thing that I remember about this was that it actually, by the time he did dismiss us, this had all dropped away, and I was sitting there completely at peace with it, you know. The whole negative aramana and mood had completely vanished, and I was content. And I noticed this, that actually this was, that all this impatience and rage and anger, how fleeting it is, and how, you know, if you're willing to patiently endure it, how it drops. And when you let something, when you're willing to endure pain and emotional anguish and resistance and rage and so forth, it will, and just be letting it be and not trying to struggle with it, then it drops, it ceases. And that cessation then of that mood is very, very peaceful, very, very calm, and very, quite blissful. So this is like living. I knew this in theory, you know, according to the teaching, but in the actual reality of that experience, then this was quite powerful way of teaching, because he would put you in positions and difficulties I could feel that I didn't want. And, you know, I kept trying to get away many times, trying to live life on my own terms. I wanted to be a hermit. And I didn't want to have to live and be under all this, where I just had to put up with the behavior of others. And yet, with this, under Ajahn Chah, I found that I actually was learning how more and more patience and this reflectiveness, learning from the way things are, but not on my own terms. I had to let go of my own views, opinions, desires, and in this conformity within the restraint and of monastic discipline of Thai forest tradition, and with a very strong and admirable teacher like Lungpo Cha, I was quite willing to learn. Many times I wanted to run away. The voice would say, I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. I'm not going to take this anymore. And I could see even my desire. The way I'm going to get even with Ajahn Chah is I'm going to leave. That'll break his heart, I'm sure. So I think my time is up, and offer this as a contribution to this celebration of Lumpur Chah.